the ocean blue, and about the ships of beauty, we're sober men and true, and attentive to our duty. We're the bold whistle of the bright blue sea, we stand to our guns all day.
Utterances of a depraved imagination. It's human nature. I'm resigned.
For the moon's bright ray. For the mountain vainly sighed. To his humble wail, the echoing hills replied. I know the value of a kindly chorus, but chorus is yet little consolation when we have pain and sorrow to before us. I love and love a lass above my station. A maiden fair to see, the pearl of minstrelsy, a bud of blushing beauty, for whom proud nobles sigh and with each other vie to do her menial's duty.
To do her menial's duty.
A suitor lowly born, with hopeless passion torn, and poor beyond denial. At whose exalted shrine a world of wealth is sighing.
A world of wealth is sighing.
Unlearned he not say that which love has taught, for love hath been his tutor. Oh, pity, pity. Captain's daughter she, and I that lowly suitor. Oh, pity, pity me, our captain's daughter she, and I that
noble captain's daughter don't have nothing to say to a poor chap like you. Will she, lad?
No.
No,
captain's daughters don't marry foreman's hands.
Shame.
Dick, that eye, them sentiments of yours are a disgrace to our common nature.
But it's a strange anomaly that the daughter of a man that hails from the quarterdeck may not love another who lays out on the foreyard arm. For a man is but a man whether he hoists his flag on the main truck or his slacks on the main deck.
Aye, aye.
It's a queer world.
Dick Deadeye, I have no desire to press hardly upon you, but such revolutionary sentiment is enough to make an honest sailor shudder.
My lad, our gallant captain has come on deck. Let us greet him as so brave an officer and noble seaman deserves.
My gallant crew, good morning.
Sir, good morning.
Quite well.
Quite well. And you, sir?
I am in reasonable health and happy to meet you all once more.
You do us well, sir.
I am the captain of the Pinafore.
And a right good captain, too.
Very good, and be it understood, I command.
command a right good crew.
We're very, very good, and he understood, he commands a right good crew.
Though he lays it to up here, I can hand be sincere, or chef but Selvagee. I'm never known to quail at the fury of a gale, and I'm never, never sick at sea.
What never? Anything is only right to return the compliment.
That languor of use I never, never use, whatever the emergency. Though bother as I may occasionally say, I never use a big, big D.
What never?
Never.
What never?
Hardly ever.
Hardly ever for the big, big D. Then give three cheers and one cheer more for the well-bred captain of the pin of four. Give three cheers.
Seem to tackle kindly to it. Plump and pleasing person.
grieved to see that you are a prey to melancholy. You should look your best today for Sir Joseph Porter.
ACB.
We'll be here this afternoon to claim your promised hand.
Oh, Father, your words cut me to the quick. I can esteem, venerate, reverence Sir Joseph, for he is a truly great and good man, but, oh, I cannot love him. My heart is already given.
It is then as I feared. Given? And to whom? Not to some gilded lordling?
No, Father. The object of my love is no lordling. Oh, pity me, for he is but a sailor on board your own ship.
Impossible!
Yes, it is true. Too true.
A common sailor? Oh, fie, fie, fie.
I bless the fate that allows me to cherish such a passion. I hate myself when I think of the depth to which I have stooped in allowing myself to think tenderly of one so ignobly born. But I love him. Father, I love him. I love
come,
him.
Come, come, my child. Let us talk this over. In a matter of the heart, I would not coerce my only daughter. I attach but little value to rank or wealth. But the line must be drawn somewhere. A man in that station may be brave and worthy, but at every step he would commit solecisms that society would never pardon.
Oh, I have thought of this night and day. But fear not, Father. I have a heart, and therefore I love. But I am your daughter, and therefore I am proud. Though I carry my love with me to the tomb, he shall never, never know it.
You are my daughter, after all. But see, Sir Joseph's barge approaches, manned by 12 trusty oarsmen, and accompanied by the admiring crowd of sisters, cousins, and aunts. Take this, my daughter, his photograph with you. It may help bring you to a more reasonable frame of mind.
My own thoughtful father.
Thank you.
cheers. I'll lead the way. Hoorah, hoorah,
hooray!
The monarch of the sea, the ruler of the Queen's Navy, whose praise Great Britain loudly chants.
We are sisters and
grandsons, and we are sisters and grandsons, sisters and grandsons.
When at anchor here I ride, my bosom swells with pride, and I snap my fingers at a foeman's taunt. I generally go below and seek the seclusion at a cabin ground. Boy to an attorney's firm. I cleaned all windows and I swept the floor, and I polished up the handle of the big front door.
He polished up the handle of the big front door.
I polished up that handle so carefully that now I am the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
He polished up the handle so carefully that now he is the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
As office boy, I made such a mark that they gave me the post of a junior clerk. I served the writs with a smile so bland, and I copied all the letters in a big round hand.
He copied all the letters in a big round hand.
I copied all the letters in a hand so free that now I am the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
He copied all the letters in a hand so free that now he is the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
In serving writs I made such a name that an article clerk I soon became. I wore clean collars and a brand new suit for the past examination of the Institute.
For the past examination of the Institute.
That past examination did so well for me that now I am the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
That past examination did so well for me that now I am the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
Of legal knowledge I acquired such a grip that they took me into the partnership. But that junior partnership, I ween, was the only ship that I ever had seen.
Was the only ship that he ever had seen.
But that kind of ship so suited me that now I am the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
But that kind of ship so suited me that now I am the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
I grew so rich that I was sent by a pocket borough into Parliament. I always voted at my party's call, and I never thought of thinking for myself at all.
He never thought of thinking for himself at all.
I thought so little, they rewarded me by making me the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
He got so little, they rewarded me by making him the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
Now, landsmen all, whoever you may be, if you want to rise to the top of the tree, if your soul isn't fettered to an office stool, be careful to be guided by this golden rule.
Be careful to be guided by this golden rule.
Stick close to your desks and never go to sea. And you all may be rulers of the Queen's Navy.
Stick close to your desk and never go to sea. And you all may be rulers of the Queen's Navy.
You've a remarkably fine crew, Captain Corcoran.
It is a fine crew, Sir Joseph.
A British seaman is a splendid fellow, Captain Corcoran.
A splendid fellow indeed, Sir Joseph.
I hope you treat your crew kindly, Captain Corcoran.
Indeed, I hope so, Sir Joseph.
Never forget, they are the bulwarks of England's greatness, Captain Corcoran.
So I have always regarded them, Sir Joseph.
No bullying, I trust. No strong language of any kind, eh?
Oh, never, Sir Joseph.
What, never?
Well, hardly ever, Sir Joseph. They are an excellent crew and do their work thoroughly without it.
Don't patronize them, sir. Pray don't patronize them.
Certainly, Sir Joseph.
That you are their captain is an accident of birth. I cannot permit these noble fellows to be patronized. because an accident of birth has placed you above them and them below you.
I'm the last person to insult a British sailor, Sir Joseph.
You are the last person who did, Captain Cortman. Desire that splendid seaman to step forward. No, the other splendid seaman.
Break right straw, 3 paces to the front, march!
Here, what?
I beg your pardon? I don't think I understand you.
If you please.
Oh yes, of course, sir. If you please.
You're a remarkably fine fellow.
Yes, Your Honor.
And a first-rate seaman, I'll be bound.
There is not a smarter Tom in the Navy, Your Honor. Though I say it, who shouldn't?
Not at all. Proper self-respect, nothing more. Can you dance a hornpipe?
No, Your Honor.
That's a pity. All sailors should dance hornpipes. I will teach you one this evening after dinner. Now tell me. Don't be afraid. How does your captain treat you, eh?
A better captain don't walk the deck, Your Honor.
Good. I like to hear you speak well of your commanding officer. I dare say he doesn't deserve it, but still it does you credit. Can you sing?
I can hum a little, Your Honor.
Well, then hum this at your leisure. It is a song I have composed for the use of the Royal Navy. It is designed to encourage independence of thought and action in the lower branches of the service, and to teach the principle that a British seaman is any man's equal, excepting mine. Now, Captain Corcoran, a word with you in your cabin on a tender and sentimental subject.
Yes, sir.
Bosun, in commemoration of this joyous occasion, see that extra grog is served out to the ship's company at 7 bells.
Beg pardon, if what, Your Honor?
If what? I don't think I understand you.
If you please, Your Honor.
What?
The gentleman is quite right. If you please.
For I hold that on the seas, the expression, if you please, a particularly gentlemanly tone implants.
I saw you in such an uncomfortable
Ah, Sir Joseph's a true gentleman, courteous and considerate to the very humblest.
True, Bosun, but we are not the very humblest. As Sir Joseph says, a British seaman is any man's equal, excepting his. And if Sir Joseph says that, is it not our duty to believe him?
Well,
you're on the wrong tack, and so is he. He means well, but he don't know. And people's got to obey other people's orders. Equality's out of the question.
Horrible!
Dick Deadeye, if you go too far to infuriate this here ship's company, I won't answer for being able to hold him in. I'm shocked, that's what I am, shocked.
Messmates, my mind's made up. I'll speak to the captain's daughter and tell her like an honest man of the honest love I have for her.
Aye!
Is not my heart as true as another's?
Aye!
Is not my love as good as another's?
Aye!
Have I not hands and eyes and ears and limbs like another?
Aye!
True, I lack birth.
You've a birth on board this very ship.
Well said, I had forgotten that. Messmates, what do you say? Do you approve of my determination?
We do!
I don't.
What is to be done with this hopeless chump?
Let us sing him the song that Sir Joseph has so kindly composed for us. Perhaps it will bring this here miserable creature to a proper state of mind.
Oh, don't sing. Don't sing.
A British tar is a soaring soul, as free as a mountain bird. His energetic fist should be ready to resist a dictatorial word.
His nose should pant,
and his lips should curl.
His cheeks should flame,
and his brow should furl.
His bosom should heave,
and his heart should glow.
And his fist be ever ready for a knockdown blow.
Ready for a knockdown blow.
flesh with an inborn fire, his brow with the scorn be wrung. He never should bow down to a domineering frown or the tang of a tyrant tongue.
His foot should stamp,
and his throat should growl,
his hair should twirl,
and his face should scowl,
his eyes should flash,
and his breast protrude,
and this should be his customary attitude.
My lady, no other than poor Rackstraw.
How my heart beats. And why poor, Rach?
I am poor in the essence of happiness, lady. Rich only in never-ending unrest. In me, there meet a combination of antithetical elements which are in eternal war with each other, driven hither by objective influences, thither by subjective emotions, wafted one moment into blazing day by mocking hope, plunge the next into the Cimmerian darkness of tangible despair. I am but a living ganglion of irreconcilable antagonisms. I hope I make myself clear, lady.
Perfectly. Simple eloquence goes to my heart. If I dared, but no, the thought is madness. Dismiss these foolish fancies. They torture you but needlessly. Come, make one effort.
I will, one. Josephine!
Sir!
Even though Joel's army were launched at the head of the audacious mortal, whose lips unhallowed by relationship dared to breathe that precious word, yet would I breathe it once, and then perchance be silent evermore. Josephine, in one brief breath, I will concentrate the hopes, the doubts, the anxious fears of 6 weary months. Josephine, I'm a British sailor, and I love you.
Sir, this audacity! Oh, my heart, my beating heart!
I forget nothing, haughty lady. I love you desperately. My life is in your hand. I lay it at your feet. Give me hope. And what I lack in education and polite accomplishments, that's why I will endeavor to inquire. Drive me to despair, and in death alone shall I look for consolation. I am proud, and I cannot stoop to implore. I have spoken, and I await your word.
You shall not wait long. Your proffered love I haughtily reject. Go, sir, and learn to cast your eyes on some village maiden in your own poor rank. They should be lowered before your captain's daughter.
Thank you.
the loneliest part that sells the water. And you, proud maiden, are my captain's daughter. Proud lady, have your way. You speak, and I obey.
Thank you.
But though the sky is now serene, a frowning thunderbolt above may end their ill-assorted love, which now is all ablaze. Our captain every day is gone, will be extremely down upon the wicked men who aren't employed to make his Josephine less coy in many various ways. My captain soon, unless I'm wrong, will be extremely down upon the wicked men. Meanest slave that crawls the water.